Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. This morning, talking all about wrong-way accidents. They happen on divided roads and highways across the state, and they have been happening in an increased fashion in 2022. We start our conversation this morning with Heather. She's a resident of Glastonbury, who is a wrong-way crash survivor. And her story takes us back to 2011, when she was driving home in wee early morning hours on I-84 eastbound, just past the Farmington line in West Hartford. And she ended up involved in a wrong-way crash, wasn't injured, but her car was hit. Heather, what's your story? What happened there?
Yes, I was on my way home. I had actually went to pick up a friend who was drunk and bring them home. And then I was on my way home, and I was just merging onto that West Hartford off ramp, the Park Road off ramp. And there was a black Cadillac just barreling straight at me. My father was a volunteer firefighter when I was young, early 80s, and he beat it in our head to stay out of the left-hand lane at night. And he said, if you ever have headlights heading at you, just get your car stopped, whatever you do. So it instantly came to my mind. I just slammed on my brakes. I dropped my car down into first gear. I was driving an automatic, so it slows the engine down. And I hugged the Jersey barrier, and she was coming straight for me and just sideswiped the entire side of my car. I immediately called 911 and notified the state police. And at that point, she had actually hit another car traveling in the left-hand lane, got off the Route 4 on-ramp, and they spike-stripped her down there. And they were able to apprehend her, and she was drunk.
You were able to react very quickly to all of that, but did it feel like everything was happening quickly when you were there in that moment?
So it felt like minutes. It really did. It was like time stopped, but it was probably 15 seconds, if that. And like I said, I slammed on my brake. I locked my car up. And just got that, I got my car down into first gear and just hugged onto that Jersey barrier and prayed.
Heather, could you take us back to that moment in time in 2011? You're sitting in your car, driving it, knowing that that accident is coming. You're trying to stop, but yet you know you're about to be hit. How are you feeling?
Terrifying. Terrifying. Had I had time, I probably would have just jumped out and jumped over the barrier. However, it was terrifying. You don't want to, it was almost like I was trying to like death grip, like prep for the hit, but you know, that's horrible because you stiffen up and you can get further injuries. Luckily I walked away with no injuries, but it was terrifying. And your life does not flash before your eyes. It does not. I can't even really describe it. I was shaking after she hit me so bad. And the responding cop, he actually did inform me that most people do not survive these accidents, let alone think to stop and slow down and just, you know, brace for it.
Your reaction to all of that, if you could go back in time, would you have changed any of that? Would you do that again? If you're in the same situation again, would you react the way you did?
I would react the same way. I would just try to slow my car down as much as possible, if not just come to a complete stop like I did.
All right. This morning on Face Connecticut, I'm Morgan Cunningham, bringing on State Police Sergeant Don Pagan, joining us in our conversation. Sergeant, what is the best advice that you could give somebody from the law enforcement perspective if a driver is about to encounter a wrong-way driver on a divided road?
We recommend traveling in the center or right lane. Majority of the time, the wrong-way driver will be traveling in that left lane because they are, from their perspective, traveling in the proper lane of travel. By traveling in the center or the right lane, you're lowering your chances. I mean, if you do encounter a wrong-way driver, you're not going to be in the same lane in which they're traveling in the wrong direction, leading to a head-on crash. Or if you're, it gives you more room to be able to move over and out of the way so that you don't have that encounter with the wrong-way driver as far as an impact or a crash. That's probably one of the biggest things. And, you know, as soon as you encounter a wrong-way driver, if you're able to safely pull over or make that call to the police, the sooner we get notified, we can swiftly respond and safely get them off the highway to hopefully prevent a tragedy like what we've been seeing recently.
Sergeant, any comment what's behind those crashes? I know that alcohol is often a factor, but there are other factors as well.
So some of the things that, you know, we've seen and, you know, the operating under the influence is, you know, at this point probably the lead cause of what we're seeing. But there are other instances, you know, whether it's someone who's experiencing a mental health crisis, disoriented as an effect of some type of illness, those can also be instances where they could potentially be wrong-way driving. And in rare instances, severe weather can also limit visibility that could also potentially lead to a wrong-way driver.
This morning on Face Connecticut, our next guest in this big conversation we're having about wrong-way crashes, here's Dr. Eric Jackson. He's the executive director of the Connecticut Transportation Institute at the University of Connecticut. First of all, Dr., what is it that you do in that office? A lot of people probably don't know that it exists, but it's pretty important when we're analyzing crashes. What do you do?
We work very closely with the Connecticut Department of Transportation, and actually every single motor vehicle crash that occurs in the state where the police document a report, we receive that report, and we take all of that data and we put it into a database here at UConn, and we make that publicly available. Our data set goes back to 1995. So we're close to coming up to having 30 years worth of crash data here in our system. And what that allows us to do is we can go in and when events like wrong-way driving crashes occur, or DUI crashes occur, or seatbelt issues occur, we can go back into that data and we can look historically what are some of the trends that are out there, what are some of the issues that we're seeing, what are some of the things that lead up to people being involved in crashes. So we work very closely with the DOT to help them understand not only spatially where crashes are occurring within the transportation system, but what are some of the reasons that are occurring, and what are some of the human factors or human behaviors that are causing those crashes to take place.
So, Dr. Jackson, I have the paper right in front of me of the last 5 years of wrong-way crashes, and the data is showing us that alcohol is a leading factor in many of these wrong-way accidents.
So we've heard a lot about wrong-way driver crashes lately. It seems like 2022 is going to be a very bad year for wrong-way driver crashes. So what we started to do is to dig into the reasons that are behind those. And what we've really started to find is the vast majority of those involved in crashes going the wrong direction are intoxicated by either drugs or alcohol. A lot of the times, the drivers that are under the influence don't realize that they're traveling the wrong direction on the interstate. A typical person like you or I that's not been drinking that mistakenly gets on the interstate will quickly realize that, you know, there's cars coming at us or things don't look right, and we'll turn around or pull off to the side of the road and call law enforcement to come and help. What happens with these drivers that are highly intoxicated? They don't understand. They can't comprehend that they're traveling the wrong direction. So traveling, you know, 60 miles per hour in one direction with a vehicle traveling 60 to 70 in the opposite, you set up a speed differential of 120 miles per hour easily. And at that point, that crash easily becomes fatal because the speed difference between the two vehicles is just so great.
Doctor, is there a time when these crashes typically occur?
Absolutely. So for a lot of these fatalities, as soon as I hear it in the news, between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m., if a wrong-way crash occurs during that time, it's almost guaranteed that that person was intoxicated at the time of the crash.
And what, Dr. Jackson, on Face Connecticut this morning, what specifically is your office at UConn learning about alcohol use involved in these wrong-way crashes?
What we're seeing in the blood alcohol concentrations of drivers is quite alarming. The drivers that are involved in fatal crashes almost exclusively have a BAC that's above 0.2, and that's nearly three times the legal limit that a driver should be have in their system at the time of driving a motor vehicle.
Heather chatting with us this morning on Face Connecticut. She's our wrong-way crash survivor. Her accident happened 10 years ago. Heather, I know that from my experience, because I was in a highway crash, not a wrong way, but it was a crash. I was shaken up for a while after it. And even still to this day, it's been years later, it's changed my perspective on driving. So after making it through that wrong way accident, has your perspective changed on the roads? Are you ever worried to be on the roads?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So I do not. And since this accident, I have not driven after 11 p.m. I have not driven. And if I can stay off the road at night altogether, I do, especially the highways.
Sergeant Don Pagan from State Police with us this morning. How are troopers out there patrolling the roads?
Oftentimes when you work patrol, you're what they call sweeping the highway. You know, that is standard practice. That is something that we participate in, and you're looking for a number of things when you're specifically targeting, traffic enforcement, and you're looking for those, people that are speeding or aggressively driving. There's a number of tactics that can go into play. Sometimes, you may see a cruiser that has their cruise lights on. Sometimes you may see a cruiser that does not have their cruise lights on. We also have a number of vehicles that kind of blend into traffic, so to speak, because, of course, naturally, when people see a cruiser, most of them will slow down, or they're not as inclined to participate in that, those illegal activities of, cutting people off or engaging in that type of behavior. So it gives us the opportunity to be able to witness traffic flowing as it normally would if there was no police presence there, and that can help us in identifying some of these drivers. One of the other things that helps us, believe it or not, is actually people that call the troop and notify us of erratic operators, whether it's someone who's driving the wrong way, whether it's someone who's operating erratically, they're not staying in their travel lane, or they appear to be falling asleep. That's actually a very common one, too, is that, people call and say, it looks like a tired driver. We've encountered that as well. So the public plays a big part in helping us identify motorists who are operating erratically or, committing these violations.
And people can call State Police and make a report of a wrong-way driver if they see it, right?
If we get reports of a wrong-way driver, you're getting multiple calls, and we encourage people to notify us. The quicker they notify us, the quicker we can get that motorist off the highway. And that's something where, any information is helpful. If you can safely, pull over to the side of the road and make that call and let us know, that's tremendous. What we do in that instance is once we can pinpoint an error, because now obviously the vehicle is in motion, so, the quicker we can get troopers there, and oftentimes we, utilize our local agencies as well, and it's really, that teamwork that brings us together, and they can, we can use the either troopers or, local agencies that assist us in shutting down the highway ramps to prevent traffic from getting on the highway. We'll utilize, one or more troopers, if not several, to do what they call a slow roll, which can really look a little funky. That's to really try and bring that traffic down to a slow speed, and then use another unit, one or more, to be able to try and locate the wrong-way driver and then bring them safely to a stop before encountering any additional traffic.
And Heather's sharing her story about surviving a wrong-way crash this morning on Face Connecticut. Heather, how do you feel about safety measures on the road? Here we are 10 years after your crash.
I feel like everything is relatively well-marked. I travel, and I feel like everything is relatively marked pretty well. I have noticed a lot of distracted driving. You know, every time I get into the car, I am definitely on point. I come across people texting, not using their signals to move over, you know, stopping to merge onto the highway. And that gets extremely dangerous. So, you know, in our area, I'm in the Glastonbury area, and I travel up to Massachusetts frequently, and I see all the, you know, do not enter wrong way, do not enter, and they run up the on-ramps or off-ramps, and you see them everywhere. I think it's really just comes down to distracted driving.
UConn research Dr. Eric Jackson digging into state crash data and talking this morning on Face Connecticut about wrong way accidents. What conversations are you having with state officials, perhaps at the State Department of Transportation, maybe state police, all about wrong way crashes?
Well, I mean, the biggest conversation is how do we stop it? And I know the Connecticut DOT is looking at some infrastructure changes to put up some new signage, to put up some flashing lights. But really and truly, with a person at a BAC twice the legal limit, you can have tons of flashing lights and tons of signage, and they're going to ignore those. Really and truly, the only way that we're going to stop these types of crashes from occurring is for people to not drink and drive, to make sure we get the education campaign out there that you should not be drinking, you should not be driving, and that it is an extremely dangerous activity, no matter how you feel in terms of you think you're good enough to drive or not.
And now joining us on Face Connecticut is DOT spokesman Josh Morgan. Josh, all the data that you're getting from the Connecticut Transportation Institute at UConn, it's my understanding that there is going to be some action and happening and starting very soon when it comes to notifying wrong-way drivers.
Thank you, Morgan, for having us on the program and helping raise awareness about wrong-way crashes. This summer, we're actually out to bid on a project for wrong-way pilot program that's going to involve flashing lights in a 360-degree camera at 15 locations in Connecticut. Those 15 locations were picked specifically because of the data that we had. Their proximities to downtown areas, high traffic areas, retail sectors, bars, and restaurants. So that's going to go out to bid this summer, and it's going to be constructed and built out over 2023. This is actually a continuation of a pilot that we launched near Exit 8 in Route 6 in Danbury early in 2020. The technology works that there's a camera, and if it detects a motorist traveling the wrong way, it activates flashing beacons. So the thought here is, instead of having continuously flashing lights saying you're going the wrong way, which could turn into just white noise if it's on 24/7, that it will just activate and hopefully stop a motorist from going the wrong direction. And we actually have some positive results from that pilot over the last 18 months, 20 months or so. The data tells us that intersection, that area in Danbury, has actually been activated 5 times. And we have no reported wrong-way crashes in that general vicinity. So it is possible that someone will have started to travel the wrong way onto the interstate or onto Route 6, those lights activated, and they could have stopped and changed course of action. So we're going to be rolling that pilot out to 15 more locations in 2023.
Yeah, and what are those 15 locations?
Yeah, so we have locations, you know, they're not just every, you know, city. You know, we're looking at Hartford, Derby, Southbury, Windsor. So we're really going all over the state. These 15 locations picked again specifically looked at over 230 exit ramps. So we do have information. If your listeners go to ct.gov/DOT, they can put in a wrong way pilot into the search box and they can get a location. But Hartford, New Haven, Rocky Hill, Manchester, South Barry, Stonington. So we're really covering a lot of areas of the state to hopefully stop these wrong-way crashes from happening.
What about the price tag?
Yeah, so we have it out to bid. That's going out in early July. We have an engineer's estimate, which will be somewhere between $1 and $2.5 million. But again, these are just public engineering estimates, and we really have to wait for the bids to come in.
Back to our wrong-way crash survivor, Heather. What are your thoughts on all this piloting that's going on, the flashing signs, the warnings to the drivers? What do you think about all of this?
From my view, I feel like it's a really good start. I do feel like it's a good start. I mean, even if they had some kind of radio notification, you know, to just let everybody know to move, because, you know, if you look at all these accidents and they get on the highway and they instantly go to the left lane because, you know, the right lane is how you would get off. So, you know, so this is moving them instantly on the wrong side of the road. They're going straight over to that left-hand lane. And I do believe that, you know, it'd be nice if we could have some kind of radio notification, especially in some of these areas where the off ramps are, you know, a couple miles apart, top of the flashing signs.
You bring up a good point, Heather. DOT spokesman Josh Morgan with us on Face Connecticut. What about that idea? What do you think?
You know, the DOT is going to be putting out this pilot location at 15 locations. Something new this year, thanks to Senator John Fanfara and the legislature included in the budget, was additional funding to have a pilot location that instead of the flashing beacons, they'll actually automatically contact Connecticut State Police. So that's going to be a location built out as part of this pilot in 2023. Because we are trying to do everything we can to stop these wrong-way drivers from entering the highway. Like I said, 5 crashes and 13 fatalities this year alone. Just really staggering and really concerning numbers. So anytime someone is out on the road, you know, please slow down, put your seatbelt on, and drive sober.
And lastly, as we wrap up our conversation on wrong ways this morning, State Police Sergeant Don Pagan, how do State Police feel about all of these ideas the DOT is coming up with?
I think that we're seeing that open dialogue with other state agencies. You know, DOT is something where they're, you know, looking into a pilot program, you know, that hopefully we will partner up with them and that will alert state police sooner as to a wrong-way driver. You know, so we're looking forward to that partnership and hopefully getting that type of technology that will really help to alert us immediately, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have that delay in waiting until someone encounters a wrong-way driver for them to notify police. So, you know, we're hopeful for that technology. Certainly, you know, we'd make advances in technology every day. So, you know, we're hopeful for that. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that that doesn't require technology and, you know, is just, you know, it's that teamwork. It's really coming together and making responsible choices as a motorist. If you know that you're going to be going to these events on weekends or holidays, you know, make responsible choices, get a designated driver, you know, take care of yourself and help us take care of each other. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing that we can do to, you know, take advantage of that share ride service. You know, if it's something where, you know, your health and your well-being, whether it's, you know, mental health or, you know, an elderly driver, that we stay on top of those things collectively, I think that we'll see, you know, those numbers decrease and hopefully, you know, that teamwork, we can really make that happen.
All right. Thank you very much, Sergeant. I'd like to thank all of my guests, Heather of Glastonbury, coming on and sharing her story about surviving a wrong-way crash in August 2011, State Police Sergeant Don Pagan, Dr. Eric Jackson, he's the Executive Director of the Connecticut Transportation Institute at UConn, and DOT spokesman Josh Morgan. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and I'm encouraging everybody out there to please be safe.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.